Boom, there you go. The music stops. ZZ Top. Love ZZ Top. Saw ZZ Top as a kid. Still, I can't really tell you much about those concerts other than William had a lot of fun. So we are live today, Nisha and William and Crystal. And Crystal's hosted the show several times,
yeah.
So this is very comfortable for us, I would tell you. Brian is, he's got a couple things. He's got some stuff in Tulsa. I think Joe and Jason are coming into town. They're doing a bit. And then he's going up to Sherm Leadership. And I think there's probably a Twitter hashtag for Sherm Leadership. It's probably just Sherm Lead, hashtag Sherm Lead. So we'll check into that. But if you're not familiar with Sherm Leadership, it's where all their volunteers or volunteer leadership from all over, really the globe, come together in D.C. and they have it's kind of where they really share best practices. It's actually a great conference. It's a great meeting. There'll probably be some great content that comes out of that. So pay attention to that hashtag over the next couple of days. I think Brian's speaking on Friday. So hopefully we'll get some content out of him, but we will miss him this week. Anyhow, without further ado, let's get to our wonderful guest, Crystal Miller. Crystal, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing fan-damn-tabulous today. So do us a favor and introduce yourself. Let people know, those that don't or are unaware, let people know who is Crystal Miller.
Fair enough. You mean there's people that don't know me? Oh, no, I'm kidding. So with that little bit of irreverence, I am the one Crystal on the Internet. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, wherever. Kind of eschewed Twitter lately. I've been drifting towards Facebook. And by drifting, I mean hardcore ignoring Twitter and just kind of hanging out on Facebook. But I am still there. And I work in talent attraction. So basically my job is to help attract candidates. It's just as simple as it sounds, or not, but that's what I've been doing for the last several years, working with companies to help tell their story and explain their jobs in a way that make people want to learn more and potentially do them.
Genius. And Richard Sherman, yes, I did refer to myself in the third person. I'd like to do an entire show at one point in the third person. I think that would be kind of an ode to The Rock, because you remember The Rock. Rock used to say The Rock believes and The Rock thinks. It was just a great bit. Thankfully, he's gone on and done some other wonderful things. But, Crystal, let's go into top of mind for you. I want to say what's keeping you up at night, but what's occupying a lot of your intellect these days?
It actually is doing both. It does keep me up at night as well. Really, recruitment marketing campaigns, specifically what do you need to say and how do you say it on social, so and through digital channels. I mean, the reality is there's a lot of crappy recruitment marketing, and there's not another really good way to say that. But, I mean, it's just bad. Most of it's bad, and I think it's time we change it. So that's really what's been keeping me up, both within my company and just in general.
And so that we get our aperture correct, because you're steeped in this. You've done the job both on the recruiting side. You understand marketing at a kind of a deeper level than most. Give us a sense for what is good and what is bad. Like, how do we train our eye to see or to feel the difference between those two?
Sure. Okay. So, I mean, first, it's just understanding what recruitment marketing is. I mean, we do a couple of things when we need to hire. The first thing that pretty much everybody does, they open up a job and they post it somewhere, job boards, career sites, whatever. Then they wait. Or they wait and they put together what's called a recruitment marketing campaign. And that's really just it's moving from that reactive, defensive mode of let's wait for candidates to show up to posting messaging and creating a story that you then put out on through various channels. And that may be from your recruiters. You know, they may be telling that story when they're talking to people on the phone. That can be on your social properties, your career website, you know, in your job postings. It can actually show up in events and a lot of different things. But it's this targeted, deliberate campaign of messages and images that you're putting out to your candidates. Good recruitment marketing looks like a campaign with messages and images that show that you know your target, that you understand the audience that you're trying to reach. If you're trying to reach college graduates, the images and the messages and the verbiage that you're using is keyed to their generation. It's interesting, relevant, timely, you know, that kind of stuff. You're putting it on channels that they're going to be on. So, you know, if you're, again, if you're recruiting college graduates, if you're sticking stuff on LinkedIn, you could be doing okay because it's a growing segment, but chances are, depending on your particular audience on your LinkedIn company pages and whatnot, you might be missing that mark. That may not be where they need to go. But your messaging then shares what you look like as an employer. You've got more than just slogans. I mean, slogans are kind of like your jumping off talking points, right? But you're sharing some idea, giving them some real idea of what it's like to work there. And I think that's where a lot of recruitment marketing misses the mark. So when you hit the other side of it, of what's bad or why is so much of it bad, a lot of companies, and I'll even go on, actually I'll say most companies, don't do that. They don't give an accurate reflection of what it's like to work in their company. They use a just ridiculous amount of buzzwords like, oh, you know, we're innovative. You know how many companies say they're innovative? Like somebody did a study on this, and it was over 75% of companies use the word innovative in their marketing. So for both consumer and employment. Okay, well, 3/4 of the companies out there are not innovative. I hate to break that news. Some of them are. I'd like to think mine is. But, you know, a lot of them aren't. And so they're describing themselves in ways that they think candidates, you know, the words that candidates want to hear, like the kind of companies that candidates want to work for, instead of just being the companies they are. And then they're just boring. Oh, so boring. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree, Crystal. And when we hear that in an organization is so much into innovation, but when we step inside that organization, we can see old school tactics when they approach a candidate, when they talk to a candidate, and it just turns us down. So we started with recruitment marketing. I want to know, who really owns recruitment marketing in an organization? Is it HR or is it marketing? Or is it alliance?
That's an interesting question. The answer is depends on the organization, and then to a lesser degree, both, whether they know it or not. I mean, HR is a cost center, so there are a few lucky companies, they are in the minority, that have a decent budget that's set aside for creating recruitment marketing campaigns and employer brands and, you know, the messaging and images that go along with that, and that's awesome. Those companies are definitely investing in something that should pay off for them. But most companies really end up working very closely with their marketing departments because that's the section of the business that has videos that they can use, that have images that don't look like they were, you know, taken from, a Polaroid or something like that. Do they even make Polaroids anymore? But, you know, they've got things that will make the company look good instead of hokey. So, whether you could say it's been owned by corporate marketing or not, you know, that's debatable, but it's certainly you work in concert with corporate marketing regardless of where talent attraction or recruitment marketing technically sits. I think we're going to continue to see a emerging either through like dotted lines or just shared function between HR and marketing because, again, HR is a cost center and it's very hard or at least in the current landscape, for HR leaders to look at marketing as a necessary, truly a necessary thing for them to invest in outside of job board postings and LinkedIn recruiter seats and stuff like that. And there's really a lot more to telling a story and building up an online reputation than posting a job on a job board.
How you mentioned honesty. How honest is too honest? So not to say that there's shades of gray here, but let's just say that if you take it to its logical end and everyone told the truth about the firm, would you ever get anyone to apply?
No, but I think that's the same kind of concept when you ask people how, I mean, the same thing can be applied for consumer marketing, right? Like, I love Chipotle, love their food. If they showed me pictures of everything that happened up to the food getting to them, I probably would never eat there again. I mean, I don't need to see the food getting processed. I don't need to see the food being cut up. I just need to see the yummy bowl at the end of the line. I need to know that the stuff that goes into that yummy bowl is stuff that's not going to give me cancer. You know, like, I need to know that it's good food, right? So it's the same kind of concept when you talk about employment. I don't necessarily need to know the 15,000 steps of things that I'm going to have to do throughout the course of my employment there, I need to know the big rocks. I need to know that there's a pathway for me to advance. I need to know that, you know, the culture is casual or not, you know, that I have the ability to voice opinions or not, you know, that there's, you know, it's a fun kind of culture or not, you know, and that's okay. There's, you're probably never going to see an ad at J.P. Morgan, for example, showing them all cutting up in the break room, even though they do have a very fabulous coffee machine in Dallas, I will say. And there's a lot of fun times there. But you're not going to see that because that's not who they are as an employer, right? However, you will see things like the recruitment marketing element that won them a RAD Award in Europe, sparking innovation. So they had hundreds of light bulbs that they had set up in a campus college for their graduate recruitment programs to show that developers spark innovation for their company and what a big deal that was. And it was kind of a, you know, it was a little bit esoteric, but it resonated with their audience. That kind of, you know, geeked out campaign worked really, really well for the people that they were trying to attract and showed them that they were serious about investing in gaining and maintaining the interest of their developers, stuff like that. I don't know that we need to be completely honest and say, and today you are going to check in, and this is the time system that you're going to have to use, and you're never going to get to be on Facebook. And you're, I don't know how much of that you have to share in your recruitment marketing. I think some of that's probably better left for your interviews.
Interesting. Well, Crystal, you have been working with great brands, elevating their, you know, employer brand and aligning their talent strategy with their business goals. So I really so excited to know what are some innovative ideas that you have seen organizations, you know, do when it comes to recruitment marketing, very particularly.
You know, I love Starbucks campaign. Love them, love them, love them. They've got a really good handle on their audience. I mean, a lot of their employees are their customers, so that's, I mean, that's helpful, right? So they know how to speak to them. They've made a point of taking their product and personalizing it towards employment. If you look at some of their videos, for example, you know, the cups that they use instead of the grande, venti, whatever the sizes are, I kind of lose track, they've changed that. And so the verbiage on that says things like, you know, find your career at Starbucks. So each time is a different line of that. They do a very good job of showing career paths, people that started as baristas and where they can go to, the different job categories that there are for Starbucks. So the things you don't think about beyond, like, the people at the store level, right? So they've got distributors and scientists and things like that. They've got complete playlists listed and categories broken out on their website. And we do some of the same stuff at AT&T from the standpoint of breaking jobs down into categories, job families, so that you can see progression within each of those areas and you can really see where your career path is. But so I do love Starbucks from their videos. AT&T, I think, does a fabulous job with the website. I mean, we're a mobile company. We're mobile-minded. We have the first fully mobile website and the first mobile apply. So, you know, I think that's good. It's consistent with who we are. I do like GE's 6 Seconds. I know that was intended to be more than just a recruitment marketing campaign, but it's worked really well for that. And HubSpot has just a really fantastic, I think, recruitment marketing campaign and employer brand in general. They've done a really good job of connecting what they do and employees' impact on it.
Yeah, IKEA, one of my favorites is the IKEA job instructions inside the boxes. I think that was done in Australia, but it's done just like instructions to, like, build furniture or put furniture together, and it was totally, you know, about the gig and about the job and how to apply. It's kind of written in the same shtick and kind of with those instructions. I just thought all of that was kind of really, again, like you said with Starbucks, kind of within their brand, within their values, made sense, et cetera. Let me ask you about Glassdoor. What role, and I don't want to assume that they have a role, but what role does Glassdoor play in employment branding?
So I see Glassdoor as sort of the Yelp for employment. I mean, it's really where employees have the ability to go and either confirm what the employer is saying, you know, so it can really strengthen the story that employers are already telling if that is consistent with the employment experience. Or it can kind of, you know, be the thing that calls you out. Nope, this isn't the reality that I had. And I think that you can look very, you can look across Glassdoor and just pick pretty much any company and you'll see a fairly consistent experience where if companies are saying who they are, they've got the employees that are backing them up. And not only that, they'll go back and kind of police a little bit of what's being said on Glassdoor and outside of it, which is neat, you know, because then you've got your employees as your advocates, and obviously that's your ultimate goal in employer branding is for the stuff that's being said about you as an employer to be said by more than just you. your employees should be seeing it too. So I think Glassdoor has a place, especially the further we get into marketing, you know, you've got that marketing spin, right? So a lot of companies are still very inconsistent with who they are, and I do think Glassdoor does a pretty decent job of highlighting some of that, you know, bringing discrepancy to light. I like it.
Nice. I feel the same way. In fact, my advice to HR and recruiters on some level is own it. Just don't try to avoid it. Don't put your head down in the sand. Own your brand. Own your story. And if something's wrong and people are telling you you're wrong or it's wrong, fix it. Like, do whatever you got to do to fix it. If your comp, you know, sucks, well, you know, you should address that.
Yeah.
Let's pivot and talk a little bit about culture and your take on how we visualize culture. So a lot of what's wrong in employment branding is it's flat. It's not two-dimensional or three-dimensional. People don't really know what goes on behind the veil. So I want to get your take on kind of how you tell that story, that culture, values, vision, mission, the stuff that goes on, and specifically how video or Instagram or Pinterest or whatever kind of your favorite things are, how do you suggest to people that we tell that story, or those stories plural?
Well, I think that we probably tell that story through multiple stories to start out with. I think the single largest issue that we have is we try to tell one story and make it fit everybody. And the reality is we're not telling nursery rhymes. You know, these are not bedtime stories that, you know, everybody lives happily ever after in the same storyline. You know, if you really were to break down a bedtime story, what looks like a villain isn't necessarily a villain, right? So it's just, it is to the hero or heroine of the story, but they've got their own little story that if you were to dig into that, you might see the motivations and reasons behind things that they do. That might be a little bit of a bad analogy, but where I'm going with that is that I think we have to start looking at the different categories of candidates and even jobs that we have. So we've got this overarching company mission. We touch on that. And then we really spend the majority of our time telling stories that again, are on that recruitment marketing level as opposed to the overall employer brand level that can really connect with our audiences. And so, you know, instead of talking about the cool thing that our company's doing, like I watched one video recently that I wanted to just cry for them. You know, they were talking about how what people are really looking for are multiple bathrooms and snacks. Like that's what the you know, employees of tomorrow want, the youth of tomorrow, whatever. No, that's crap. That's not what they want to know. They want to hear about employees that look like them and, you know, that have similar skills and experiences and where they were able to go, what the company is doing both for the employees and for the communities that they serve in. And there are several different initiatives, you know, especially when you look at large businesses. Like AT&T, we have literally hundreds of initiatives that we do to help improve the community and the world around us. Well, we can't tell all of those, right? And frankly, some of them are going to resonate with different sections of our audience better than others. And so if we're doing our jobs correctly, we're looking at all of the different things that we do and classifying that out by job category, even down to the point of like gender and age at some point, not because we're trying to, you know, find a specific gender or age, but because we want to make sure that we're sharing things that are appropriate and interesting to the people that we're trying to reach. And frankly, if you're going to have a diverse workforce, you need to make sure that you have content that's going to be equally interesting or multiple sets of content so that each gender has things that they can look at and point to and go, yeah, this is cool. You don't use it for hiring, you use it for marketing. And that's what marketers do. And I don't think that HR is very well set up for that, because we've been taught to look at gender and age and all of these things that are really important in content marketing as bad words, like things that we can't talk about or touch.
Wonderful. Well, Crystal, as you talked about content marketing, I wanted to know very specifically, what's the role of a recruiter within the organization that he or she can contribute when it comes to content marketing? Does the organization invite their, you know, participation, or have you seen something like that?
I'm sorry, the question was, do they what?
The question about content marketing in an organization. So what's the role of a recruiter? We all say that recruiter has to be a salespeople, has to attract talent, has to manage talent, in just like a human. But still, when it comes to content marketing, is there a role for a recruiter when it comes to content marketing?
Oh, sure. I mean, so in reality, a recruiter is doing some content marketing right now. And I'm not saying they're doing it well, and I'm not saying they're not either. Some of them do it very well. Some of them do it very poorly. But, I mean, right now, the job descriptions that they put out there, the recruitment marketing ads, so job ads, the scripts that they put together to talk to candidates with,
mm-hmm.
all of that's a message. All of it's a story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's definitely a role for recruiters in that. Now, I think in a really well-tuned function within the organization, recruitment marketing or talent attraction function within an organization, there's some handoffs, right? So recruiters and staffing managers would make sure that the talent attraction or the HR marketing team understood the job, the target audience that's trying to be reached. You know, is it men? Is it women? Is it baby boomers? You know, are you looking for, you know, college graduates? What are the skill sets that are needed? Why are they important? What qualifications does that ideal candidate need to possess? And so if they can work with the talent attraction group to understand all of that, then the talent attraction group can really go together and or get on the job of making that message, right? Making sure that it says what it needs to say, that it's SEO optimized, that it's keyed up to be able to be found, and then help get that out there. Then turn around and hand that back to the recruiters, so as they're talking to candidates, they have places that they can point these people to. You know, hey, you can go to our Facebook and learn more about the employees that are doing these jobs. And, oh, by the way, on LinkedIn, we've got information about our company initiatives. And if you want to be able to live tweet with some of our developers, we do that at this time on this day. You know, it's something that should probably be working in concert together, as opposed to everybody running off and trying to create their own message, because at that point you're fracturing your brand. Because chances are you're not all speaking the same voice.
All right, Crystal, we got 6 minutes, and I have three things that we still have to cover. Talent communities,
okay.
Mobile recruiting, and millennial recruiting. And really I want to highlight not what's broken, because, good God, we'd need another show just to focus on that, but really examples where we do that stuff well. So talent communities, where in the marketplace have you seen, like, that works, like what we do there works. Mobile recruiting, here's how that really works, like, here's an example of that. And millennial recruiting, what really does work or can work with millennial recruiting? Take them any way you want to.
Sure. I mean, let's go for the easy lob first. Mobile recruiting. I have to say that, you know, at AT&T, we've got this. So we've got a pretty fleshed out mobile recruiting program. We do have full mobile apply. We've had it for a while. We have AT&T.jobs. Check it out. You can check it out from your mobile phone. It's not like where I think a lot of people get confused is the difference between mobile apply and mobile start. So there are a lot of companies that do mobile start. There's not a lot of companies that have a full mobile apply, but we do. So, and we think that's important because when you talk about millennial recruiting, but just recruiting in general, more people are spending more time on mobile, younger generations. Very much so. I mean, a lot of them don't even have it, and it's a significant number, over 20%, don't even have a desktop computer at this point. They work on mobile and tablet, so you have to be responsive in order to really be in the game. So millennial recruiting, I think there are companies that obviously have great programs put together. There's a lot of them, so that I'm not just saying, hey, AT&T is all things to all people. We can talk about Accenture's got a great college recruiting program. I like it. Deloitte's is great. They've got a good message. It makes sense. It's very, very comprehensive.
Yeah, my bad. What makes them great? Like I can go through the Fortune 100 and pick out names. What's an element that you like about them? Sorry to push.
No, that's okay. So I think it's Deloitte's college recruiting program, and I'm looking this up as we're talking just to make sure that I'm right. They've got this – what they've done is they've taken their events and they've made that experience consistent with what they're going to see online. So they – at the college events, they're asking them – they play, basically gamify the events, lead them to through this game, like the area of Deloitte that might work best for them. And then once they get through that, they can go online and they can watch videos about it, and they're going to hear a lot of the same stuff that they heard at the events. And it's not just like, come see me. It's helping them kind of figure out where they need to go best. It's really going to work best for them in their career. It's either Deloitte or Accenture. And I think that's really cool. It's different, right? It accomplishes two things. One, it helps these kids that are about to make this monumental decision about what to do with the next 30-something years of their life figure out, in a practical manner, okay, I said that I wanted to do accounting. Well, here's kind of what that looks like. I could go into accounting sciences. I can go into, you know, straight-up accounting. I can go be an auditor. I can go do this. And that's kind of what that's going to look like, what seems more fun to me, and they base it off personalities. I think that's cool. It's different. It's a different spin anyway. Talent communities. You know, I think that talent communities are kind of an issue for me right now. I love the concept of it, right? It's a social media community. We've done that for a really, really long time. Where I'm struggling right now is that it looks like we've gone a little bit backwards with them, and it went from being something where we really were trying to have conversations. And to answer your question directly, I think the best example of a talent community is probably out of a really small company called Dovetail Software that didn't build it to be a talent community, although I think in some ways it is for them. They built this little community to be able to work on a coding problem that they had, and it came up with this entire new language that they now have a bunch of different companies working through. They've made relationships and friendships with developers all over the United States, and so as they have needs, whether that's for jobs or just development in general, they just ask each other. And so they're able to source through each other. And I think we can take a cue from that in HR and recruiting and start creating communities like that, as opposed to throwing out our Facebook group that's just general for everything and then trying to serve everybody on this one page, because it just so much of it becomes noise.
Well,
does that answer
genius.
Your question?
Yes, you were amazing. We've got about a minute and a half left, so a couple things. Where are you – where are you speaking? Where are you writing? How can people kind of keep up with the goings-on of Crystal?
Sure. So I kind of missed the boat this fall. I was really busy, and I forgot to sign up to speak. So I don't know where I'm speaking next. I think I'm done for this season. I think the next time I'm going to speak is probably at True London in February. Where I write, you can catch me on recruiting blogs. I am supposed to be doing some writing for Brazen Careerist. You can see me on I think you pointed me to them, the Human Capitalist. So that's a few of the places that I am and will be. I will have a new thing out on recruiting blogs today on recruitment marketing, so just kind of following through with this. And you can always find me at v1crystal.com, and that's got links to pretty much everything else that I'm at, I think.
Genius. Thank you, Crystal, for coming on and being with Nisha and I. Everyone, thanks for listening to Drive Through HR. Thanks for letting us invade your ear hole. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we're going to roll out to a little shocking ZZ Top.
Awesome.
Rumors run round in that Texas town, about to check outside the games. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.